We thank the Lord for life spared to another broadcast time. You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you to this another Way of Truth broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege we have of broadcasting your gospel to this precious people today. And we are thankful for everyone in our congregation. We're trusting that wherever our broadcast is heard, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to souls. We're so thankful we know that you are no respecter of persons, that you love everyone, that Jesus tasted death for everyone. So may you take this broadcast, use us for your glory, and make it a blessing to souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The wise man Solomon tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path." We're also told that the footsteps of a good man are directed by the Lord. What a blessing it is to be led by the Master's hand.
I thought I could be.
Our subject for today's broadcast, the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And we will use as a text for the message, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus told the disciples, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." John chapter 16 and verse 7. Acts is largely a book in which the Holy Spirit is prominent. As our text says, the disciples were to receive power from the Holy Spirit. As a result of receiving the Holy Spirit, they were to be witnesses in the home, and we refer to Jerusalem, and then in the community, Judea, and in other states or countries, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. One of the greatest ways for us to be a witness is to live the gospel out in our lives day by day. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now all 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit there in the upper room. And it is the will of God that every new convert be filled with the Spirit. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, a word in regard to the 120 in the upper room. All 120 were indeed filled with the Spirit of God, but all 120 in the upper room did not speak with other languages. For we're told in the second chapter of the book of Acts that they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. The gift of language is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just one. And none of the gifts are to be used as an evidence that you have the Spirit of God. So I say all 120 in the upper room were filled with the Spirit of God, but only those that the Spirit of God gave the ability to. And let me also point out the fact that they did not speak in unknown tongues. Now, I realize that that's a hobby in some parts of the religious world, but, beloved, the Bible teaches that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples spoke in other languages. Now, there may have been some people there who did not understand them, but there were those there who did understand them. For we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born." So the disciples did not speak in an unknown tongue. They spoke in other languages, but they spoke in languages that were understood. And you'll find that to be true in all three of the examples in the book of Acts where they spoke in other languages. They spoke in languages that were to be understood. It's the King James translators who put that word unknown in there. And if you'll notice in your Bible, it is written or printed in italics, which means that the translators added that word, thinking that it might help people understand better, but in fact, it has proven to be a source of confusion for some people. So again, I say, the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and not all 120 spoke in another language, but all who did speak in another language spoke in a language that was understood. Now, we are talking today, or speaking today, about the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Two persons were struck dead for lying to the Holy Spirit. We read about this in the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, how Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, and they made it up among themselves, or between themselves, that they would give part of it to the disciples who were needy there in Jerusalem at the time, but that they would not give it all, but they wanted the people, or the apostles, to believe that they were giving all. And so they brought it to Peter, and pretending that they were giving it all, when in reality they were not. But Peter said unto Ananias, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Peter goes on to say, while the land was yours, it was yours. You didn't have to sell it. And even after you sold it, if you only brought part of it and told us you brought part of it, everything would be all right. The thing about it is that you have lied to the Holy Spirit. So this was not just an ordinary lie, but it was a lie to the Spirit of God. And whenever Peter informed Ananias of that, he fell dead at Peter's feet. Now Ananias, and Sapphira, rather, was not with Ananias at the time, but she came in later. She hadn't even heard that they'd taken her husband out and buried him. But she came in later, and Peter asked her, "Did you sell the property for so much?" "Oh, yes, that's what we..." And Peter said to her, "The same young men that carried your husband out to bury him is waiting at the door to carry you out, for you are privy to the lie that your husband told." And so she fell dead. So two persons were struck dead for lying to the Holy Spirit. Now Stephen was a man of faith. We read that Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And as a result, God did great and wonderful things. Marvelous, miraculous were wrought through this man, Stephen, as recorded in 6 and 8. However, as a result, those who were opposed to the disciples plotted against him, and they brought him to the councils, and they set up false witnesses against him and made claims and quoted supposedly statements that he did not make. And they found him guilty. And when Stephen was permitted to speak, he preached a powerful sermon. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 and 55. And then they took him outside the city and stoned him to death because he worked miracles and preached the truth to them. Philip, another one of the seven, went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and also worked miracles, including the casting out of devils and the healing of the sick. And whenever the apostles at Jerusalem heard about the revival that was going on there in Samaria, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when Peter and John came, we read in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts that when Peter and John arrived, they laid their hands upon those new converts that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. No, They did not receive the Spirit of God when they were born again, when they were converted. It was not until Peter and John came and laid hands upon these new converts. They had been saved, they had been baptized. Then, whenever Peter and John laid hands upon them, they received the Spirit of God. And I might also add, there's nothing in Acts 8 and 15 through 17 where it speaks about them receiving the Spirit of God. There's nothing there about them speaking in another language. They received the Spirit of God without speaking in another language. So it is not necessary to speak in some foreign language to receive the Spirit of God. And again, I emphasize the fact that the gift of language is only one of the gifts. There's about 16 different or 17 different gifts listed in the Bible, given by the one Spirit, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. And none of those gifts are to be used as evidence to anybody, not even to the person themselves, that they have received the Spirit of God. Peter was called to come to Caesarea, to a Gentile's house. Before that, he had a vision of a sheet that was let down with all manner of beasts, four-footed beasts and creeping things was in it, including unclean. And as he was seeing this vision, he was told, "Peter, arise and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so. There's no unclean thing that has entered my mouth." And the Lord said to Peter, What I have cleansed, call not thou common nor unclean." Shortly after that, these men that were sent from Caesarea by Cornelius to call for Peter to come to Caesarea arrived at Simon's house, Simon the tanner, there at Joppa. And God had prepared Peter, and so the next day he journeyed with them to Caesarea. And Cornelius told Peter about how an angel had come to him and told him that he was to send to Joppa for Simon Peter. And he was to come to give them more perfectly an understanding of the Scriptures. Now Cornelius was a righteous man. He was a God-fearing man. He was a man of prayer, and God answered his prayer. And we're told in the Scriptures that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer, but his face is against those that do evil. And so while Peter was instructing them more fully in the ways of the Lord, the Spirit of God came upon Cornelius and those of his house. And they did speak in another language, but they did not speak in an unknown tongue, because the people who heard them speaking knew that they were praising God and giving glory to God, and they understood. So all three places, the day of Pentecost, at Cornelius, and also at Ephesus, whenever the disciples spoke in another language, they did not speak in an unknown tongue, because in all three places they were understood, their language was understood, what they were saying was understood. We read in Acts chapter 13 and verses 2 and 4 about how Barnabas and Paul were called by the Holy Spirit when they started on their first missionary journey. As the saints ministered at Antioch, the Holy Spirit said unto, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Thus they started on their first missionary journey, led by the Spirit of God. Now there was a question arose about whether the Gentiles should be circumcised, and there was quite a controversy over it. And so Paul and others go up to Jerusalem to settle the matter. And we read in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts about this conference that they had. And their conclusion was, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And that's the proper way to solve problems, is to follow the leadings of the Spirit of God. It seemed good to us, and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now, when Peter arrived back at Jerusalem after he had gone to Cornelius' house, Peter was questioned about his visit to a Gentile's home. His response was, "God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Acts 15:8-9. I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit entering into these there at Cornelius' house, their hearts were purified. They were already converted, but their hearts were purified by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. No, you do not receive the Spirit of God at conversion. There is such a thing as an experience of sanctification, which is separate and apart from justification. Paul asked the 12 disciples, which I've already referred to, but Paul asked the 12 disciples at Ephesus, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Now, if you automatically receive the Spirit when you're converted, Paul's question would have been foolish. But he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They had not, so Paul laid his hands upon them, and they received the Spirit of God. Let me also call your attention to the fact that, according to Acts 20:28, the Holy Spirit appoints elders over the congregations. Paul said to the elders of Ephesus, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Again, that's Acts 20:28. For the church, for individuals, to be victorious today, we must be vessels for the Holy Spirit to indwell. And what a privilege it is to be a temple, to be a vessel for the Spirit of God. For again, I say, Paul tells us, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They that live after the flesh shall die, but they who through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body shall live. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. We'd like to invite you to write and let us know if it has. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. We'd also like to invite you to be with us in our Sunday services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast service today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when again we come your way, the Lord willing, with another Way of Truth broadcast.